And this is the Thanksgiving edition of Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by the Pizza Huts in Saskatoon and the Concord Group, also brought to you by Wheel Estate and Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home expert team. And I'm joined by U of R Rams head coach Steve Bryce. And Steve, how does the Bryce family spend Thanksgiving?
Having a wife who's American, she actually really appreciates the American Thanksgiving. So the whole Canadian thing is new, but she's still into cooking turkey and doing the whole family thing for sure. So we just get to double up every year.
I was going to say, that's cool. You get to double up and you get to watch football both days. So that's good.
Yeah, it is totally. It's a bonus for all of us. And we definitely take that day and spend it with family for sure.
Well, I know you're thankful for your quarterback who set the U Sports record for most passing yards in a career. Just talk about Noah Pickton and how he continues to build the numbers, so to speak.
Yeah, I think it's very proud of Noah, very proud of what he's accomplished, and he should be an extremely proud young man as well. He's done amazing things over the course of the last 5 years. He's still got a lot more to accomplish, and I think that having that record behind him now, I think it's he gets to focus forward a little bit and explore some team goals that he wants to achieve.
That was a gritty victory over Manitoba. It's never easy to go into Winnipeg. They were 2-2. You were 2-2. Were you surprised they went for two in overtime?
You know, with Dobie, I don't know if I'd be surprised by anything. He's a good dude and a little bit of a riverboat gambler. So I've seen some interesting trick plays out of Coach Dobie in the past. I can't say I'm too surprised.
Yeah. I liked your change of strategy when you put Seb Britton in short yardage. You had been burned earlier this year by not getting in short yardage situations, kind of putting Shinbine in there. And it's not a knock against Shinbine. I just like the big physical guy in there behind center.
Yeah, we were looking for ball security first and foremost. And Ryan Shinbine has been outstanding at everything we've asked him to do. And I think at that point in time, we were just asking him to do a little bit too much. So with Big Seb being 6'5", we're just hoping that just hang on to the ball and fall forward and you should be fine. And I would get him to pound his feet, and I think he's doing a great job.
Before I touch on more points, what are you most thankful for this year in terms of your team?
Being healthy, really. We're at this point in the midseason and the bye week, and overall we're fairly healthy. We're getting Atlee Simon back this week, and hopefully Ryan Warner will be back in the mix. So far this year, we've knock on wood, we've remained relatively healthy.
Sounds like you're not that healthy, though. Sounds like you're fighting a cold.
I'm on the tail end of it. It's just been kicking my butt for about 2.5 weeks. I think I'm on the mend, but it's still a little bit of mucus covering the vocal cords once in a while.
Hey, let me tell you, is that something the coach always has to be worried about, too? Is that kind of flu going through a locker room, too, because you're in such a confined space and you got 100 bodies in there? Has that kind of eluded your locker room, or have you been battling that?
Well, a little bit. I mean, there's been a couple guys, and I even talked to the players. I mean, there's a lot of flus going around right now, and I just told guys, hey, avoid shaking hands. Fist bump season is what it is, yeah. And stay away from me. And if I'm talking to you guys, I'll try to keep my distance because I don't want to share something like this.
You know, you got to be thankful for some of your young guys. We'll talk more about Stusik in a minute. Jackson Ford has had his ups and his downs. How have you seen his game progress? It's not easy breaking into this league as a guy straight out of college, or out of a high school, pardon me, into the university ranks and trying to cover some of these top-end receivers.
Well, that's totally true. And the thing about Jackson is every time he faces a little bit of adversity, he's going to come out getting better. He's an outstanding young man. He's a great competitor. You know, he had a rough one against Saskatoon, against U of S. And then he rebounded and he played exceptionally well against Manitoba. And I think each one of those little bumps in the road is just going to make him an outstanding player. And you're looking at a future star who's 18, 19 years old right now, but he's going to be a star.
I like how he evolves within a game because he had a couple of rough plays against Manitoba too, but there was a play down at the goal line where I think they ran a quick little slant and he was on the guy's hip pocket and popped the ball out. I thought that was a nice sign of maturation there.
It is. That's the whole growth and development and just being a student of the game and making sure that you take the coaching and learn from your mistakes. And we're blessed to have a lot of guys like that.
Now, we're talking about being thankful in injuries. One guy that hasn't been on the field much has been Atlee Simon. When he has been on the field, he's been an impact player, but he hasn't been on the field the last couple of weeks. As we get to the second half year after Thanksgiving, are we hoping that he'll be on the field? Because it would be nice if you could put Atlee Simon and Kyle Borsa on the field at the same time.
Yeah, what an incredible 1-2 punch those two could be, because you know, right now with Kyle leading the conference in rushing, but I think that Atlee Simon's the best all-around running back in the country right now. And so having two weapons like that on the field at the same time is going to It's going to make us a little more diverse, a little harder to cover, a little harder to read. We won't be giving away as much as far as tells, and I think it's just going to make us a little tougher, a little edgier.
So do you think, are the prospects good that we're going to see him on the other side here?
Oh, absolutely. He's coming back in. He'll be playing for sure. We could have played him last week, but we wanted him back comfortable at 100%, and that's where he's at now.
Been a strange year for you guys. I mean, you won one last week where it was a gritty win, and it almost looked like, you know, you had that one wrapped up, and then it looked like it was going to slip away from you, but you come up big at the end. You definitely were in it against Calgary here and just couldn't hold that lead. And then, of course, you know, there was the UBC fiasco that almost went against you, but you guys found a way to get it done. It's kind of been an up-and-down season.
It has been. I mean, I've always thought that good teams find a way to win close games, and I think the thing that we have is we've got good unity, good camaraderie, and good teamwork. We've got good leadership in our locker room, and I think we're finding a way to fight through that adversity, come away with some wins. And yeah, I think we get U of S back, we get another crack at Calgary, and I think we go in there with the right game plan, the right mindset. I think we could do some good things.
One thing, though, coming back here, we play Alberta coming back. That's always a dangerous one. I know they just beat UBC, so they kind of raised some eyebrows there. But one thing with your team, it's been a problem for you guys. You've started slow on home turf in a couple of your games, in your two home games. What do you got to do to kind of rectify that? And that's kind of a danger, isn't it, Steve, when you're playing, quote-unquote, the free space in the bingo card?
You know, I'm really glad that U of A came out with the win against UBC because, you know, a couple years ago we played U of A immediately following the bye, and at that time we were, I think, 1 or 2 in the conference, and they were number 6 in the conference, and they ended up beating us following the bye in one of our weakest performances since I've been here as a coach. So, and I don't know if our players overlooked them. You know, we try to put as much detail and emphasis into every game, no matter who we're playing, and our whole team sat together and watched that game, U of A play UBC, and you could tell in our entire locker room that everybody sees and respects what U of A is capable of doing, and we need to make sure that we're dialed in and ready to go in this game.
If you had to describe your team in one word, maybe you can't use one word, what word would you use to describe your team?
Well, you know, I've been asked that already this year, and I think the one word that encapsulates us a lot, and there's a lot of one words I think that could probably fit a bill, but I think the one is family. I think the other word that could go along with that is volatile. Mm-hmm. I think there's some chemistry there. There's some great chemistry. We've got some great leaders, and you know, we can be as good as anybody in the country, and we can play as bad as anybody in the country. So we're pretty volatile, but we're a good family.
Is that frustrating as a coach?
Sometimes. I mean, we just got to work that chemistry out. And, you know, we're in our third year together as a staff and a team, and we're doing everything we can to try to build that unity and build that chemistry. And I think we're almost there. We're really close to rounding the corner and having this team be ours and making sure that we're not making those mistakes and we're less volatile and a little more consistent.
The word I would use is the same word I'd use to describe the pro franchise that shares a stadium with you, resilient. I think I've seen you guys get down early against Calgary. I'm calling the game thinking it's going to be a blowout. You come back, make a game of it, and probably had you dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, you probably should have won that first game against Calgary. Then you're getting blown up by the Huskies in Saskatoon, and I'm going like, what is going on here? Why are these guys getting smoked? And then, you know, if it wasn't for a couple of ill-advised throws from Noah Pickton, you guys probably win that game uncharacteristically of Noah. And then, of course, this game here, you had it in hand. You look like you're slipping. It's slipping away, and you guys find a way to get it done. I think resilient for me would be the word to use.
That'd be a good one. I mean, I've used the word perseverance with our players, and I think we're good and resilient. We've got tough kids, and they don't quit. They don't give up. Yeah, they get frustrated, but I tell them the most useless sentiment in the world is self-pity. So no matter what's going on in the football game, you only got to focus on the next play and what can you do to make it better.
Yeah, Steve, I think the teams that win in any league, they're hot, obviously, and they're healthy. So you talked about health, that's key. But I think for you guys to at the end of the season here, the last three games of going into the playoffs, to be consistent. You talked about being great and being not so great. Would you agree that consistency is going to be the key to maybe finally knocking off Calgary and taking that next step?
It sure will be. That's the thing. If we eliminate turnovers, we eliminate just silly mistakes, I think we can play with anybody in the country. I don't think there's any team in the country, Laval included, Western included, I don't think if we're playing our best and not making mistakes, I think we can play with anybody. And it's time to get over those growing pains and start being that team we're supposed to be.
That's Rams head coach Steve Bryce, and this is Growing the Game. Thanks for this, Steve.
Thank you, Mike.
And this is Growing the Game, episode 51, our Thanksgiving edition. And we're joined now by U of S Huskies head coach Scott Foray. I should mention our sponsors, by the way, brought to you by Pizza Hut and the Concord Group out there in Saskatoon area. Also brought to you by Paul Wald, who's on the Huskies coaching staff. He, of course, in his day job, works at Royal LePage, the home expert team here in Regina and surrounding area. And, of course, by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca. Yes, Scott Foray joins us. And, Scott, happy Thanksgiving to you. And how does the Foray family spend Thanksgiving? What do you do?
Well, actually, my wife's going to be with my son on a hockey trip in Yorkton, so that's how we're going to spend Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
We'll get together when they get back, and we'll have a nice meal and everything after practice on Monday.
I'm sure your wife's used to, with your football career, playing for the Alouettes and even, you know, back to your younger days, she's probably used to this kind of lifestyle now, right?
Yeah, that's one thing for sure. You know, the college season is just shorter, whereas the CFL season was 6.5 months or 6 months or whatever. And the college season, I mean, it's year round, but it's really condensed there for 3 or 4 months. So, yeah, she's used to that and a little bit of a single parent for a while, half a year. But I do what I can out of season two.
What's tougher, being a coach in a shortened season? Where do you get more pressure, being the coach of the U of S Huskies in an 8-game regular season, or being Scott Foray, the professional athlete on the offensive line for the Montreal Alouettes in an 18-game season?
You know, I always, as an athlete, like, you control you, right? So that's always something where I was in control of myself, however good or bad I played, and you know, you had an impact. You could control yourself, but you had a great impact on, you know, your small group or, you know, within the team and everything. And some of the difference, and the biggest difference that I'm learning so much with coaching, is that you create the environment, but you don't actually control the athletes, right? You don't necessarily control the outcomes, and you try to, you know, build because you can't actually do it for them, right? Like we don't actually play one snap. So I always found the physical part of it to be tougher, obviously, from the physical side of things. But whereas I can function on no sleep as a coach, but the athletes, they need the sleep. They need to make sure that their bodies are prepared and are right, and they're their physical tools. So it's just different, completely honest with you. It's different. More time, more hours as a coach. But much less physical requirements, clearly.
I think being a coach of these young men is going to help you be a better dad when your kids hit the teenage?
Yeah, I hope so. I got one there now. I got a 14-year-old.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's starting to see some of that, young men and trying to mold young men. So I like to think so. I think that a big part of that is the staff and the people you have around you. And from a mentorship side, because, you know, your culture, you know, it's what we live on a daily basis here. And we've got a great group. I can't commend my coaching staff enough. And you know, what they exemplify and how they act and correspond and communicate and just what they live on a daily basis is they're great role models for these young athletes.
More challenging for you this year in the sense that I know you've got your feet underneath you this year because you got in late, you got your staff assembled later because everything was late. So you've had a full off season and a full season coaching, but now you're the offensive coordinator. What's that like?
It just goes back. I mean, I did that before. I was actually the head coach. So last year was kind of a hiatus from running the offense. And honestly, I love it. I really missed it. You know, it's more work. I get that, but it's a labor of love, and I love it. I love I love calling plays. I love scheming. I love designing the offense. I love doing all that kind of stuff and putting players in a position to succeed. It's different. You know, as a player, you look back and there's those 3 or 4 plays where it's like, ah, man, I should have made my blocker, should have made that catch. And as a coach, it's the same thing, right? There's 3 or 4 game where I regret calling this one play, or I should have called this, or should have put the guys in a different situation. But yeah, no, I love it. I love the tactic component of the game.
So you're a young coach with a young team. You've gone young, especially in the skilled positions in the secondary and in the receiving core. Just evaluate those two areas for me. I know the receiving core is hard to evaluate because you've had injuries there.
Yeah, we had a few guys. We lost, Joel Piok. At the start of the year, and then losing Sam Baker early in the year. So those are two veteran guys that were huge impact players for us.
And then, you know, we've got some young guys there, and move Colton Clausen from running back back to receiver, bring some speed there to receiving core. And we've had some guys step up, brought in some new guys as well, you know, from junior, a couple guys from junior, and then a couple kids straight out of high school that have had an impact this year. So it's a process. And the hard part, I think you mentioned it, is that you play so few games, right? With only 8 games, it just happens so fast, and it's such a condensed season. That all the development in the off season is huge, and that's what makes the off season so big. And then in season, it's just about you know, you don't have time to take the foot off the pedal, right? Because you can't go into 3-4 game slumps and work your way out of it. It's too condensed, it's too fast of a season. So we're trying to expedite that. And then again in the back end, the same kind of thing is, you know, consciously we know that, you know, when you play a younger man, there's going to be mistakes, but you're going to be better for it in the long run, and that's what we're going through philosophically, and you know, it's a team game, so we got to pick up all of us have to pick up the slack of everybody else.
Yeah, you know, it's a program that hasn't won a Vanier Cup in a very long time, and you know, I imagine that's got to be tough for you. You can't be penalized for the sins of the past, but you've got a definite plan on how you want to do things and you want to grow with the young team. But with it comes growing pains, and with it comes steps. So you kind of got to, it's one of those things where you're building for the future, but you kind of got to win now. So it's almost like you're in a wrestling match with yourself at times.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the chicken and the egg, right? You got to win to recruit, and you got to recruit to win. So it's you kind of go around and around. But you know, one thing for sure for us coming in last year is that, you know, foundationally setting up the foundation and the habits of our athletes and our team on a daily basis. And then, you know, we truly feel that we're on the right path, and we're going to start to bear fruit of those decisions that was made last year. Obviously, it had a reflection on our standings last year, and we like to think that, you know, we're going to start to see, and we already have, we start to see that shift. And you know, it's the long-term sustained success, right? That's what we're looking for, not boom and bust. You know, getting back this, you know, my last college football game was a Vanier Cup, and that's what I want these kids to know and to experience and to remember. It's going to take a lot of work, and you know, I'm not at all saying we're there yet. Trust me, we got a lot of work to do, and we got a long ways to go. But we got a great group of guys, and we got the foundation that we're putting in place to be able to build towards something like that.
Okay, so we're on the Thanksgiving Day break. What are you thankful for in terms of the U of S Huskies so far through 5 games? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for an outstanding group of young men that I get to work with on a daily basis, to be honest with you. And that's not cliche. I was just thinking, I just dropped my kid off at hockey, and I'm driving back here. I'm just so lucky to be involved in sport and athletics and being able to guide and to lead these young men on a daily basis and to be surrounded by such good people. Yeah, I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful for the opportunity from the university and everything that goes into it, and just being a part of it, because it really is it's a special time. It's a special age for these young athletes going to school, and I'm just real thankful that I can actually be here and do my part to help guide them, be better young men.
Okay, are you happy where your team's sitting right now at 3-2? I mean, you're not happy, but are you liking your prospects going into the second half here? I guess as we just passed the midway point in terms of games.
Yeah, no, I'm never happy. You're right there. You know, never satisfied. I think that's just something as an athlete or a coach, is that you can never be happy. You're always in search of that perfect game, even though it never comes. It's the white whale, right? It never quite comes, but you're always in search of it. You're always trying to attain it. And you know, I like the fact that we're, you know, knock on wood, relatively healthy. You know, sometimes it's a battle of attrition here with injuries within a condensed season. Is who can stay the healthiest is going to have a chance for success. And so I am. I'm looking forward to the back half. I'm looking forward to this break and letting our guys get away mentally, physically, emotionally, step away from the game of football, and then coming back Monday rejuvenated and ready to, you know, ready for one game at a time, but ready for the stretch of the season here.
Got to watch how you push these young guys. I'm not trying to look for you to give me excuses, but what I'm getting at here is you got some kids, you know, I don't know how many of your kids are moving to Saskatoon away from home. They're experiencing university for the first time, living away from home for the first time. They've got all the football stuff, and I've talked to Mason Nias. He says your playbook's pretty thick. Kyle Siemens told me the same thing. So you got all these guys trying to learn your playbook, trying to learn your defense, trying to learn all that. Plus they got the schoolwork, and you're searching for the perfect game. You got to kind of balance that and watch how much you push them and try to be, you know, the guy that pushes them but also motivates them and makes them feel good about themselves too. You're wearing a lot of hats there, Scott.
Yeah, well, that's part of the deal, though. I think that, you know, all I ask of my athletes is that when you're here, just be here, right? Like, everybody's got stuff going on in their life. So when you show up here in this clubhouse, it's all football. We're not worried about all those other things, because they're going to be there at 8 o'clock when we're done, right? They're not going away. So you're going to deal with that before, and you're going to deal with that after. And just when we're here, this is our sanctuary, and this is our football space, and within these walls. So, and you know, there's always time for school, and there is, and the guy's got to make time, and that's what athletes have to do. Is time management and everything that goes into socializing and lifting and everything that goes into, you know, being away from home, being away from mom and dad, having to do your laundry and cook and clean and all that stuff that goes into transition time. But I think that, you know, we got a good group of guys here, of old guys, of leaders that can help guys along the way. And then, you know, we try not to be too burdensome, but when you're here, like, it's football, and then when you're away, like, that's where you can take care of all your other business. And I think our guys have been pretty good at compartmentalizing that aspect of it, and I think you have to as an athlete.
What do you do to de-stress? Do you, like, for instance, this week you said your wife and your, I don't know, how many kids you got, Scott?
Three kids.
Okay, yeah. So your wife and your son are away at hockey. What are you doing for the other? Are you being a dad now for a couple days here on Thanksgiving Day weekend, away from football a bit?
Oh yeah, no. My other son's got—he's got hockey. They're full into it. My daughter, I'll be on the ice with her practice on Sunday morning. So, yeah, that's kind of my away from football. It's clear the mind. It's just get to be an observer and not have to worry about practice plans and running practices and all that stuff. Is that you just get to be there and enjoy it? And it's such a different game, and I love the game too. I love the game of hockey. So it's such a different game than football. It's so free flowing instead of being so structured. And you know, and that's the beauty of it. And I just get to enjoy and be a dad and winterize the house too.
Yeah,
last chance we get for that.
Yeah, no kidding. And it crept up on us pretty fast there. Okay, so lastly, as you go, you're on the break. You come back. You're playing UBC. It's never easy out in Vancouver, and it especially won't be easy because they're coming off a tough loss against the U of A.
Yeah, no, they're a good football team. They're just, you know, not in the best place right now, but we know that they're going to try to get back to that place too, and that's our job is to, you know, we just got to take care of our business, and that's all it comes down to. You know, all the old cliches, honestly, Michael, that they do apply. It's one game at a time. We're just focused on the next opponent, and that's the way we are, and that's the way we have to be. We know they're a good football team, but at the end of it, you know, if you're overly concerned with your opponent, you're not going to take care of your own business, and your focus is going to be all wrong. So we're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready, but we also know that we take care of our business, and we're going to be in a good spot and have a great chance to succeed.
What are your prospects in terms of health here for the last three games as you head towards the end of the regular season?
Yeah, this game couldn't have come probably at a better time. Just with where we're at, with just some nicks, and you know, guys have been playing through stuff, which is, you know, that's part of life and that's part of football. But you know, this is a great opportunity. I sat a few guys down this week just to rest and make sure that they're healthy. And I told a whole bunch of them there's no sick days, so we gotta go through the stretch here, the back half of the season, and there's no time off. So. This is the opportunity to heal up mind, body, and soul, and make sure we're physically and mentally and emotionally ready for everything we got down the back half of the season.
Okay, last question for you, Scott Flory, head coach of the U of S Huskies. I asked Steve Bryce this earlier. You get to describe your team in one word. What word would you use?
Oh, man. I'd have to say we're a fairly resilient group so far. And I think that, you know, right from one of the first things that I put up on the screen at training camp was just talking about grit and talking about that resiliency. You know, you could talk about mental toughness. You could talk about all these things. But, you know, at the end of it, you're going to deal with stuff and you got to be able to respond. And I think that if you look at our couple of our wins there where the teams were, it was a fight and we weathered it and we responded the proper way. You know, in Manitoba, kind of a shootout, and we ended up coming out on top. And same thing when Regina came here, they started to creep back, and then offensively, we just said, you know, that you know, we put a stop to it and had a long drive, and that's the kind of resiliency that I like to see from our guys, the ability to, you know, the ebbs and flows of the game, and that's the beauty of football, right? The highs and lows, and you got to be able to ride that out. But the ability also from a team to be able to just say, you know what, hey, we're going to go make a play right now and have the ability and to be able to do that That's what I would say with our guys right now. And I think we're a pretty tough crew. Maybe not the toughest, but I think we're a pretty tough crew.
All right. Thanks for this, Scott. And happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by our friends at Pizza Hut in the Saskatoon area. And thanks to the Concord Group and David Dubé for getting on board. David Dubé, a big supporter of amateur athletics in this province, in particular the game of football up there in the Saskatoon area. As he's been, I've talked to that guy a number of times. Man, he knows his football for sure. Also, like to thank Paul Waldo from the Royal LePage Home Expert Team for getting on board. If you want to get in the real estate game, give him a call, 306-502-5355. Also want to thank Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out next camping season, or you want to rent the travel trailer, they'll hook you up, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. Check them out online and start booking already, because it goes quickly, wheelestate.ca. Hey, it's time now to get to know a Saskatchewan Rough Rider a little better, and this guy came on board partway through the season as the left tackle of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He is Tecobi Cofield, Duke grad. My buddy Chris Best on the Rough Rider panel always loves to trumpet that. But this guy turns out to be a pretty cool character, as you'll see here in Profiles. Time now for Profiles with Tecobi Cofield. First off, let's start with a football-related question. How have you found left tackle and the whole yard off the ball type of thing?
It's different. It's different, especially that yard off the ball. Played left tackle in college, started for 4 years there. So it's a natural spot, but just adjusting to the timing of everything with that yard off the ball up here.
Yeah. How about the 20-second play clock, too?
Ooh, yeah. It's quick. It goes fast. You got to hurry up, get on the ball, see what they're doing, and play as quick as you can.
All right. Tecobi Cofield joining us here for Profiles. Okay, so some goofy questions now. The lottery is $60 million. If you won $60 million on Friday, what would you buy? What's the first thing you buy?
First thing I'm buying, I'm probably going to pay off my parents' house. Yeah. Then after that, I'm probably going to buy my son something.
Yeah? What would you buy your son?
Shoot, whatever you wanted.
Yeah?
$60 million. Whatever you wanted.
Well, what are you going to get yourself, though?
That'll come in time.
Come on. Yeah. There's nothing you want right now. There isn't a car or a house, or you wouldn't buy an Antigua something or something like that, no?
Ooh, we're going to get Toby a brush. Nah, we going No, I'm just trying to take care of the people around me, man. I'm just trying to take care of the people around me. Yeah. As long as they good, I'm good.
Okay, so Kate Winslet is 42 years old today. She's an actress. She played on Titanic. Now, here's a question for you, okay? Right. Not about her, but about the movie. So you're on a boat that's sinking. Right. Would you rather be in shark-infested waters or waters that are freezing cold?
I'm going shark. Ooh, that's rough. Because unless I'm bleeding, the sharks aren't really going to attack me. So I'm just going to freeze to death either way. So I guess we're just going to go ahead and take the cold, freezing water.
Okay. Are you a good swimmer?
No, I can't swim at all.
I can't swim either. Is that one life thing you wish you would have learned how to do?
Yeah, I'm still to the point where I'm going to eventually learn how to swim.
Yeah.
Because, it's kind of hindering sometimes when everybody want to get in the pool, and I just kind of stand there and go, well, if I can't stand up in the water, I don't need to be in it.
You're exactly like me, man. How old's your son?
He's two. He turned two in August.
Does he know how to swim?
Yeah, he knows how to swim. He actually takes swim lessons now. He's a pretty good swimmer.
So isn't that embarrassing that your kid knows how to swim and you don't? Because I feel the same way.
That was part of the issue of making him learn how to swim, was everybody used to laugh at me, and it was like, okay, I got to make sure he knows how to swim 100% because he might have to save dad one day.
That's a good way to look at it. So it's National Vodka Day. Oh. Would you drink vodka straight up, or you mix it with something?
Ooh, I'm not a huge vodka drinker, but we're gonna drink it straight up.
If you like to have a cocktail after a rider win, say on Thanksgiving, what are you gonna drink? What's your cocktail of choice?
Ooh,
or drink of choice?
My drink of choice? Oh man, I love tequila. Yeah. Love tequila, but we're gonna go Jameson and Coke.
Okay, good. Yeah. So it's Canadian Thanksgiving. Do you have any American Thanksgiving traditions back there that you used to do?
Man, my mom just cooks the spread. Yeah. She just starts the night before Thanksgiving, and you can smell the house. And by the time you're waking up in the morning, usually she makes like a little breakfast, like a breakfast casserole that's got like sausage and bacon and eggs and cheese and all types of stuff in it. And then about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, the spread is ready. We pecan pies, sweet potato pies, turkey dressing. It's making me have some reminisce right now.
Are you doing anything for Canadian Thanksgiving after the game? Guys got any meal plans or anything like that, or before?
Not that I've heard of so far, but I'm sure it's an offensive line we'll sniff out somewhere around here.
Who's the biggest eater on the offensive line?
Josiah's got to be.
Joe and Bladed
got to be the 1-2 punch. Yeah. They up there at the top.
Do you have a guilty pleasure, either food, music, something we don't know about?
I would say music.
Yeah.
Music. My family is big into music. Yeah. A lot of different gospel groups in my family, a lot of different singers, musicians. Everybody knows how to play a instrument or a couple or four or five.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your instrument?
I play the saxophone. I know how to play the drums. I know how to play a little stuff on the piano, keyboard, stuff like that. Everybody can sing in our family, so it just kind of...
Really?
Yeah,
can you sing?
A little bit.
Can you, give me a little... We'll go out and sing me a little verse. A little verse. Like something you like to sing yourself, maybe, in the shower. Give me your shower karaoke, just like a couple of snippets.
What do I got? What do I got right now? Dang. Toby, give me a song, man. Give me a song, man.
Give me a song. We're going to do karaoke.
Give me a song to sing, man.
Whitney Houston.
All right. Come on, man. Give me something I can sing.
Can you do Amazing Grace?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch.
That's good, man. Appreciate that. Hey, good luck.
Hey, appreciate it.
All right, here we're speaking with Tim Huber, former Ram offensive lineman, city policeman here in town, and of course a part of the Regina Rams alumni group. And Tim, you've got a big event coming up here in the middle of October. Tell us about it.
Well, it's October 13th. It's a combined event between the Rams alumni and the Regina Rams, and it's a casino night / beverage tasting event. Last couple of years, the Rams had a Taste of Spring event, and we decided to combine the two events.
Oh, cool. So, and it's taking place where, Tim?
It's at the RCMP Heritage Center.
Oh, awesome. That is a great set. Yeah, that's a great setup. We've done that before, though, the casino night.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago we did. So this is our third year we're doing the casino night, and this is the first year we're combining the two events.
Now, Tim, the proceeds are going to what? Where does the money get earmarked? Because a lot of people, when they come to these events, they'd like to know how much they're paying and where the money's going.
Well, the money's actually going to the Ram alumni and the Rams, so we're splitting it down the middle. And it's going to the same place, basically. The Ram alumni, the money that we get, we use it for things that are kind of out of the scope of the Rams. So, like, for example, last year we bought the graduating players, their jerseys. We had them all framed. Hmm. We participate in the sub program for the Rams. Twice a week we get subs for the players. We bought a sled for the team last year, and we purchased a new sound system for the locker room.
That's outstanding. It's a great night. It's not just and one thing to bring up, it's not just for Rams. Like, it's for anybody, and they can bring their significant other. It's kind of a nice night out, a kind of a high-class event, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, for sure. So if they want to get tickets, Tim, how do they go about doing it?
Well, you can go on the website, Regina Rams alumni, or they can contact any of the Ram alumni on the group, which would be myself, Larry Mueller, Corey Borsa, Steve Bauer, Gary Bresch, Tim McFadden. Mm-hmm. Or they can go right to the Rams office and talk to Laura Guzik. She's our marketing person. She's also selling tickets.
And tickets, Tim, are how much?
$100.
That's not a bad night out to combine two great events, a Taste of Spring type of thing in the fall, and, of course, the casino night. Now, Tim, lastly, you played with the Rams, very successful with the team, and now you're successful in life. What did the Rams program mean to you? What does it still mean to you?
Well, I've got friends that I met on the Rams that are still friends today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really good friends with Coach Bryce, Steve Bauer. All the guys that I mentioned on the alumni, they're all really good friends of mine. And the Rams helped me get to where I am in life today. I'm a police officer. I'm successful in life. I've been a police officer 24 years. And I think that the Rams, playing on the Rams, and the teamwork and the dedication and commitment that allowed me to play on the Rams helped me succeed further in life.
Yeah, you hear that from a lot of guys I talk to, whether they're policemen, firemen, lawyers, doctors. One of our guys, Maurice Exner, went to be a scientist down south in San Diego. So you never know what's running around on a football field out there. What do you think of this year's edition of the Rams so far?
They've got potential to go all the way. Yeah. They just have to make sure all the pieces are in place at the right time. They're peaking. I think they're going to peak at the right time. And, Noah's an awesome player, of course. And then they got Atlee, and their defense is lights out. So, I think that if they can get by Calgary, they're good.
Yeah, that's always the tough one. Calgary's been the juggernaut in the conference for a while. Okay, once again, that casino night / beverage tasting night goes down October 13th at the RCMP Heritage Center. Go to the Regina Rams Facebook or website. Go to the Regina Rams alumni page, or see Tim in the alumni group, or go right down to the Rams office down there at the university. Thanks for this, Tim.
Thanks, Baldy.
Joining the game with Baldy, episode number 51, and we're brought to you by Wheel Estate by Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage, the home expert team, and also by Pizza Huts in Saskatoon and the Concord Group. Thanks to them for getting on board. We're joined now by grade 11 running back from the Leboldus Golden Suns here in Regina, Riker Frank. That's a good football name. You must like it. You've had it all your life.
Yeah, it's good.
That's an awesome name. Riker, just talk about your season so far. You've had a lot of work in that Leboldus backfield. How's it feeling?
Feeling good.
Yeah, I think you got like 800 yards rushing so far as you go into this week against the Miller Marauders. Just talk about your season. Did you expect to get a lot of the carries like this?
I mean, I expect to get a lot of carries, but past few games have been a little more than what I've expected.
Yeah, and so far so good. Just talk about the Leboldus season so far.
We're doing really good, actually. Coming in, we didn't know how good we were going to be, but our team's shaping up really good.
Yeah, this team has had so many championships in a row. Last year, of course, he didn't win it, but previous to that, it was 5 straight city and provincial championships. The expectations were, I don't want to say they weren't high, but you guys weren't sure how it was going to go. Do you feel like you're playing over your head to this point, or do you think you're surprising teams?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're surprising teams, but I think that our history has really gotten us a rep that people might think that we can't fill, but we're definitely not someone that you should take lightly.
Yeah, for sure. And so you got the Miller Marauders this weekend. Tell me about your first game with them and what you're expecting from this game.
Well, they're a good football team. Our first game is very close, and we're expecting about the same this week.
Yeah. So in terms of running back, do you maybe go buy your offensive lineman Slurpees or anything like that? I know you don't have a big NFL or CFL contract to treat your guys, but obviously you gotta have those hoggies working up front for you.
Yeah, my hoggies are my family.
No kidding. Do you kind of consider yourself kind of an honorary hoggie, so to speak?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get to know you a little bit better. How long have you been playing football for, Riker?
Around 5 years.
5 years? And have you always been a running back?
My first year I played defensive halfback, but ever since that I've played running back.
And what do you like best about the game of football?
I think I like how you can really have 12 people working as one unit. It's such a great team sport. It's not individuals.
Okay. And so what do you want to accomplish in this sport? Let's start this year. Obviously, you want to win a city and provincial championship. But after this, I imagine you want to play at the next level. Where are you looking at the next level? What would you hope to achieve after high school?
Well, I'm pretty open to any opportunities that I might get, so I guess I'm just gonna keep rolling with it and see what comes forward.
Okay. And so lastly, if a person hasn't watched Riker Frank play, how would you describe your play to the people listening to this podcast?
I'd say I'm a pretty fast player. I like to play aggressive, and I'm a tough runner.
Yeah, so who do you look up to in the world of football? You try to emulate your game after?
Oh, my man, Todd Gurley.
Todd, you like Todd Gurley. Is that your favorite NFL player?
Yeah.
Is that your favorite NFL team?
Yes, it is, yeah.
It is the Rams. You like the Rams. You think they're going to take it all this year or what?
Yeah, I think they got a really good chance.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Riker, thanks for this, and best of luck this week and the rest of the season, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
And that'll do it for episode 51 of Growing the Game with Ballsy. Thanks to everybody who is taking in this podcast and sharing it with their friends and family and football contacts. I'm hoping that we're getting the message out there that we're promoting our local athletes here in Saskatchewan who deserve praise and recognition. I'd like to thank our sponsors for helping making that happen. That would be the Pizza Huts in Saskatoon, the Concord Group. Thank you very much to them, and David Dubé for his support. Also want to thank Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage, the home expert team. Check him out at 306-502-5355. And Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out, or you want to rent a travel trailer, check them out at wheelestate.ca. And all their insurance, or all their rentals backed by a $1 million insurance policy. So you got a peace of mind that way as well. If you'd like me to pursue a story idea, please email me mball@harvardbroadcasting.com, and I'd be happy to do so. Check me out on the Rider Broadcast on 620 CKRM and each weekday morning, 104.9 The Wolf FM in Regina. Talk to you soon.